We'll go into the subject of scripture memory. In last week's couples conference, we ended one of the meetings with a panel during which the conferees asked questions. One of the questions asked was, what is the difference between reading the Bible in the devotional time, in your devotional time, and in studying the Bible? So I got a chance to give one of my favorite quotes, and I think this originated with Mr. James McConkie. He said, "We feed on the Word of God to be healthy Christians. We study the Word of God to be intelligent Christians." So that answered the question, but I wasn't satisfied. I wanted to go ahead and put in a couple of things that I'd added to this. So we feed on the Word of God to be healthy Christians. We study the Word of God to be intelligent Christians. We memorize the Word of God to be skillful Christians. And we meditate in the Word of God to be spiritual Christians. So we want to speak about scripture memory this morning in the context of these other things. Now, if we wanted to use our fingers here as a checkoff list, we could say that the little finger indicates feeding on the Word of God, which we do through hearing and reading. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And in 2 Timothy 4:13, Paul wrote to Timothy, "Till I come, give attendance to reading." So through hearing the Word and reading it, we feed on it. 2 Timothy 2:15 commands us to study the Word of God. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And in Proverbs 7, 2 and 3, as the young man is being talked to about the commandments, he is commanded, "Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart." If you haven't memorized that, we're going to close this session by memorizing together Proverbs 7, 3. And then Psalm 1, 3 speaks about meditation. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." So, one finger for feeding through hearing and reading, another finger for study, another finger for memory, and another for meditation. And we've got a thumb out here, which we need to use with each one, and if I were going to give a name to it, it would be application. So no matter what system we use for the intake of the Word, application is the key. And James 1:22 tells us that we're to be doers of the Word, and not hearers only. And I'm impressed by what Christ said in Matthew 5:19, where he said, "Blessed are those who do and teach." And every case he mentions it, it's in that order, do and teach. So in the context of this, we'll talk about memory. Dr. Harold Ockingay says that every message would be a good one if it has an introduction, three main points, and then three subpoints under each of the three main points, and then a conclusion. Now, mine doesn't quite work out like that, but there is a resemblance in the outline. So we'd like to talk about how that memory produces skill in the inner life, and how memory produces skill in the outward life. in the outward battles of life. And then finally, some suggestions on how to memorize. Now, in this matter of skill in the inner life, and this does, of course, spill over to the outer life, one of the reasons that we believe in and teach scripture memory, in John 14:15, Christ said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And then John 14:21 is one of the verses on which the Navigators base their emphasis on memory. I was reviewing it yesterday. You remember what it is? Maybe we can say it together. John 14:21. How's it start out? Somebody give us the phrase. Okay, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, John 14:21. Okay, this is real good. If you love me, keep my commandments. Scripture memory is the best way we can think of to know those commandments so that they can be kept. Now, the second thing, in Hebrews 11:33, in that great chapter on the honor roll of faith, in the 33rd verse of chapter 11, there's a mention of some of these men of great spiritual stature of old times, and it said, "Through faith they obtained promises." It's through scripture memory that we become familiar with promises and are able to put them into effect when we need them. Among our basic verses in our memory system, as you know, is 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's say that. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Oh, you're sharp this morning. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Right. Anytime we go into a public building, if we look around, we'll see someplace an exit. There's always a different way to get out than the way we went in. And I think this is what 1 Corinthians 10:13 teaches us, that any temptation that comes our way does not come to us until God has inspected it and built in an exit. So when it comes to us, there is a way of escape so that we can get out of it without committing sin. I believe this is what the escape is. And so, having memorized this promise and other promises, is great insurance against defeat in time of temptation. Well, these are very basic things. Now we'll go on a little bit more as we progress here. Memorizing scripture is one of the best ways that I know of to get familiar with the great truths of the Bible. A few years ago, one of the fellows who had been with us here at Glen Eyrie and is now serving overseas went to a Bible school. As I was visiting with him once, I asked him, "What is your most difficult course and what is your easiest?" And he told me. And do you know what he said his easiest course was? He said it was doctrine. Now, I thought he would probably put that down as the most difficult course. And I said, "How do you account for it?" He said, "Well, I get the assignment, I look up the scripture, and I find out that I have already memorized and reviewed 90% of the key verses." So he said, not knowing it, I've already learned doctrine. So it's just a breeze. And I go right through. So memorizing key verses is the best way I know to learn doctrine and the great truths of the Bible. I don't know how significant you think the events of the days are, but I think it's very exciting to see things going on that students of the Bible have looked for 2,000 years and then see them coming to pass right in our generation. I think that God has given Billy Graham some special insight into the future. While he was visiting here with us several years ago, he told Lauren Sandy, he said, I think maybe one of the reasons that God has raised up the navigators is to equip the Christians with knowledge of the Word of God through memory that will stand them in good stead when they no longer have a Bible and when they can no longer have public meetings. He anticipated that this might happen in his lifetime. So knowing the Bible through memory may be more important at a later time in yours and my lifetime than it is today. Well, of course, Psalm 46:1 tells us that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Refuge, strength, and help. And I know there have been many occasions in my life that I've needed the strength and the help in time of trouble. And so I haven't opened up the Bible and looked for a promise or something in God's Word to help, but just open up the Bible or review Psalm 46:1 and to tell him that that's what I need, some strength and some help right now. And I might further say that some of the troubles that I've gotten into are of my own choosing and negligence. So I'm glad this promise applies on the basis of need. Be able to tell him that I need some strength and help right now. And I can give further word that he's never failed to fulfill this promise. So, scripture memory is very, very helpful in gaining victory and skill in the inner life, in these and many other illustrations that we could give. Now to shift over to the second point, how scripture memory develops skill in the outward life. One of our staff members, Jim White, was visiting in Africa and the Middle East earlier in the year. And he came through Cairo. He learned there the number of students who enter one of the universities in Cairo to receive training for entering full-time work in spreading the religion of Islam, being a Muslim. And he gave the number of students that go in there every year, and I think it was 1,000. Among the entrance requirements, he said, for a student is that he has to quote the entire Quran from memory. The Quran is about the same length as our New Testament, but that's a part of the entrance exam. One of our fellows was witnessing to a Muslim down in the Middle East, and like he had been taught to do in the United States, he opened up his Bible and started to point to a verse. And the Muslim said, close the book. He said, if your holy book doesn't mean enough to you to have it memorized, then I don't think you are worth listening to. There's a great deal of authority in witnessing, in having the Word of God memorized. And I think we can take seriously what this Muslim fellow had to say. I heard of an incident once where that a Christian had a neighbor who liked to argue about spiritual things. And so the Christian didn't get very far. So one day he made up his mind he was going to use a standard approach. So when his neighbor was through with whatever he had to say, he would say, "Well, there's no doubt a great deal of truth in what you have to say and what you believe. But, thus saith the Lord." And then he would quote him a verse of Scripture. And he never varied from that procedure over very many weeks. The only thing he said, "Yes, well, you've said this, some truth in it, but thus saith the Lord." So finally his neighbor quit talking to him about spiritual things. And he asked him why. And he says, "Because I didn't come over there to argue with God. I came over to argue with you." Scripture memory played a very important part in the beginning of the work of the navigators. Some of you may have heard or read the story about Dawson Trotman in his first encounter with his first man in the Navy and the fellow we call the first navigator. This young sailor had been referred to Dawson Trotman. The first night that they met, they took a drive and then parked up where they could look down over the harbor while they're waiting for a boat to come in from the ship on which the sailor was stationed. They were seated in the car, naturally no lights on. They weren't very close to a street light or anything. A policeman came along. This was during the days of Prohibition. And I don't think there's anybody here beside myself that remembers back what went on in those days. But when two people were seen alone in a car, out in the dark, there was just one suspicion, and that was that they had a bottle. So the policeman came along, flashed his light in the car, saw these two fellows in there, and so he opened up the door and says, "Okay, fellas, where is the bottle?" Dawson Trotman said, "We don't have a bottle. We have a Bible." And so the policeman made some uncomplimentary remark about the Bible. And then Dawson Trotman engaged him in conversation. I don't know just what passage he used, but I know one that he used with policemen. He took from Romans 13, which says that all officers of the law are ministers. So I have heard him ask policemen if they realize that the Bible called them ministers. And that does create a little bit of interest. Whether that's the one he used or not, I do not know. But in the next 30 or 40 minutes, as he got deeper in conversation with the policeman, the heart's needs of this policeman were laid bare. Dawson Trotman met them from the Word of God, and at the end of the conversation, brokenhearted and beaten down, he professed to receive Christ as his Savior. This young sailor who was sitting there watching expected to go to seminary and go in the ministry. But he had never seen anything like this before. Where that a man could just go from memory. I suppose they were in the dark. He was giving all these verses from memory. And find every answer, the answer to every objection a man could bring up. So he told Dawson Trotman, he said, "I would give my right arm if I could do what I've seen you do tonight." So Dawson Trotman began to teach him. And he was the first navigator, Lester Spencer. And really, this was the beginning of the navigator's work, as it involved people. So scripture memory is very important and very helpful in the outward life and outward battles of persuading others. After I've been a Christian just a few days aboard ship, I brought one of my tough associates to one of the fellows who had been a Christian a little bit longer, and I saw him do the same thing that I've just described. No matter what objection the fellow brought out, this fellow, Virgil Hook, had an answer. After I had seen him do this, I said, "Where in the world did you learn all these verses?" And he showed me a correspondence course he had been taken, written by Oscar Lowry, and it was called Scripture Memory for Personal Soul Winning. And I borrowed the book from him and copied out the verses, and I've never memorized at such speed since then, but I memorized 10 a day until I got those 104 or 5 verses that were in there. Now, I kind of burned out after that experience. But I felt I couldn't be without one of them, because I could anticipate that I would be in a situation that if I didn't know that verse, it might mean the difference between success and failure. So a scripture memory is essential for the skill of personal evangelism. Now let me suggest that we don't have to know too many verses to be considered a great authority in the Bible. Shortly after World War II, I was in contact with a naval officer that he and I worked pretty closely together. His mother always included some scripture at the end of her letters. So one day when I was talking with him, he had just gotten a letter. He always called me Deacon. And he said, "Deacon, my mother put a verse at the end of her letter, and I'll bet you don't know it." And I said, "Well, I think you're probably right, but what is it?" So he couldn't hardly figure out what it was, but it turned out to be 2 Chronicles 7:14. He says, "Now, you don't know that one." So I said, "Well, does it go something like this? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, and so forth." And he got up out of his chair, and he threw the letter down, and he says, "I give up." He turned the people around. He says, "He knows every book, every verse in the Bible." I tried to explain to him that that was probably the only verse in 2 Chronicles that I knew, and that it was a very outstanding verse, probably the only one that his mother knew. But he wouldn't believe it. He said, "I give up. I'll never question it again." Well, I had a good ministry with him in the future. So it doesn't take a lot of verses to make people consider that you're an authority on the Bible. Well, that's the second thing. Scripture memory produces skill in the inner life, and it produces skill in the outward life, not just with those that are not Christian, but in counseling with those who are already Christian and who have needs. Now for the third thought here, something on how to memorize, which you should be telling me after the way you've memorized instead of me suggesting to you. But the first thing I would suggest is to set an attainable goal. Over at the Flying W last night, I wonder how many of you climbed to the top of that rock where the railing was. Anybody climb up there? Yes, quite a few. Well, I climbed up, and on my way up, I thought of a story as I saw those benches of a lady who was mountain climbing. Got about halfway up, she looked up and She looked down, didn't know which way she wanted to go. So she saw a fellow coming along from the top. And she said, have you been all the way to the top of the mountain? And he said, yes. She said, I'd like to climb the mountain, but how in the world am I going to do it? And he said, lady, just a step at a time. That's the only way you'll ever make it, is a step at a time. Scripture memory looks real big to all of us. But if we ever accomplish it, it will be a step at a time. Now let me further suggest that age is not a barrier to Scripture memory. A few weeks ago, I was over in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, visiting with our representative over there, and he wanted me to have lunch with one of his contacts who was a medical doctor. Apparently very busy and very successful, I asked him at lunch how many patients he had seen that morning, and he said about 40 he had already seen. But he got in touch with our representative, Jimmy Chu. He wanted some help in personal evangelism. And he had been memorizing at the rate of about 3 verses a week. And Jimmy Chu told me how that whenever he had somebody in his office that he wanted to lead to Christ, he would call Jimmy over to talk with him. So Jimmy started teaching him. And he said just a few days before, he had said, now, I've got a person over here that I think's ready to make a decision. Will you come over? And Jimmy said, well, you know the verses. I've taught you. You don't need my help.